How many of you are blessed already today? You're blessed today. I get to introduce to you our guest speaker today. I was scheduled to preach today, but during the course of the summer, this past summer, I was at a convention, and I was sitting out in the audience like you, and the gentleman who's going to preach for you today was the guest speaker that evening. And as I sat out in the audience, as God moved in my heart and my life that day, I said, I need this man has got to come preach this sermon to our church. Our theme this year is the signature of Jesus, which is the cross. And the question we've been asking the whole year is, are you willing to lay down your life for the sake of the gospel? The man who's going to preach for you is a man by the name of Ajay Lal. Everybody say Ah. Ajay. Ajay Lal is his name. And Ajay preaches in central India. Now, we've been to the Philippines. We've been to Japan. I just got back from China. This is a church that believes that God is moving all around the world. 25 years ago, Ajay and his wife went to central India to start a mission. And during these last 25 years, God has moved mightily in an area that is completely Hindu. It is the second largest Islamic country in the world, less than 1% Christian. And today, as a result of this man and the ministry that he leads, they have started 627 Christian churches in this country. On any given weekend, in those 627 churches, there are 170,000 believers that meet in those churches as a result of this man, his ministry, and God working through him in a mighty, mighty way. And he's going to come and he's going to preach to you based on my request to him to come share that same message, because it moved me in such a mighty, mighty way. And I want you to do your best. He's a long ways from central India. I'm not even sure he's awake, but I want you to join me in loving him, encouraging him, and welcoming him, and thanking him for his life spent there in India. Would you please welcome Ajay Lal as he comes to preach for us here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You supported us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a matter of great privilege and honor for me to speak to you this evening. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters from central India and from northern India and from the country of Nepal and from the kingdom of Bhutan and from the country of Bangladesh, where Central India Christian Mission is working. My wife and I arrived here last night, and we want to thank our dear brother and friend, Brother Dudley, who has invited us here and who came and picked us up from the airport. It's a privilege for me to be at the Shepherd of the Hills, and it's almost like a dream coming true to speaking to you. Whenever I come to America, I face two battles when I have to preach. The very first problem I face is that my mind is thinking in Hindi because I was born and raised in India. I learned English in 1979 when I came to study in America, when I came to Dallas. But still, when, you know, both of us and our family and our ministry is in India, and we speak in Hindi, we teach and preach in Hindi. So when I come here, my mind is thinking in Hindi and I'm trying to translate my thoughts into English. So I hope I will be able to communicate to you. Secondly, when I'm here, my time is limited. When you say 30 minutes, you have 30 American minutes. I remember one time in India, I was in a tribal area. And in that area, people have to wait sometimes for 4 months before they can have a preacher. And I went with my team, and we had just arrived into this area. We were 2 hours late. It was a noon time with the temperature of 122 degrees. And there were about 400 people sitting under a mango tree waiting for us. And I stood up and I started preaching after we sang a few songs. And when I was my sermon was over after 45 minutes, I started going back to sit down. And one leader in that village got upset. He said, "Now we have been waited for 4 months, and now you have come and preached for 45 minutes. We want you to preach for 3 hours." So I stood up and I took my second sermon and I preached, and my co-worker stood up and he preached the third sermon. But what was amazing for me, that in 122 degrees, those 400 people sat under a tree and not even one person moved. Now I know I cannot do this in America. I will be blacklisted. They say that if you do this in America, you will lose the support of your mission. You will lose all your friends. So they teach me that if I preach a short sermon, we get a big offering for the mission. And and if I preach a long sermon, we get a very small offering. So my brothers and sisters, may God bless you. I'm through with my message. I'm very, very grateful for this opportunity, and it's a privilege to stand here. I don't deserve to preach where great preachers like Brother Dudley have preached. I don't deserve even to stand here, but it's a grace of God that I'm standing here. This time I would like to read from the 9th chapter of Gospel according to Luke. Gospel according to Luke chapter 9 verses 23 and 24, and I will be reading from New International Version. It says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it.'" I was attending a conference of Christian leaders in New Delhi, which is our capital, and one of the young missiologists stood up and he presented a report. And in his report, he said something which shocked all of us. He said, "Today, in the world in which we live, there are more people who know the name Osama bin Laden than Jesus Christ." According to his report, he said, Osama bin Laden became known to the 80% of the literate world population in less than 1 month time. And here we are sitting after 2,000 years of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we are saying that still there are 2 billion people on the face of this earth who have never ever heard about Jesus Christ, who don't have any scriptures translated into their language, who do not have any Christian witness available to them. During his report, this young man made another point. He said that today, Islam religion is growing faster than Christianity. If Christians continue to grow with the rate that we are growing today, and if Islam continues to grow as the way Islam is growing, then 20 years from now, there will be more Islamic people on the face of this earth than Christians. And I don't have to tell you what Islamic extremism has done to our world. Maybe this is the time that we are to be reminded that if we truly want to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be willing to pay the price. We have received Jesus Christ freely, but that does not mean that Christian faith is cheap. That's why we need to take Jesus seriously, and we must be prepared to pay a price. We must be ready to live dangerously for our Lord Jesus Christ. When we read about the disciples of Jesus Christ, we find that they were not very highly educated. They did not come from the very rich family or the high caste family. They were common people. They made mistakes. They argued with each other. They were in competition with each other. But when we read in the book of Acts, we find as they grew, they became bold and courageous witnesses of Lord Jesus Christ. And they were able to turn the world upside down. And because of their work and because of their writings, millions and millions of people have given their life to Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow in our world, most of us have started believing that as we accept Christ and as we are saved, we will have a very comfortable life. We will have a wonderful, blessed life. We will not face any problems, and all of our problems will be resolved, and we will be insured and assured of eternal life. Jesus made it very clear that if we are going to follow Him, we must pay the price. We must be willing to pay the price. In Luke chapter 9 verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Anyone. In John chapter 15 verse 20, Jesus says, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." In Luke chapter 21 verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, you will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me." Paul is writing his last letter before his death to his spiritual son Timothy. And in his letter in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, Paul warns Timothy, saying, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, and you and I are no exception to this. Let me suggest three propositions about the cost of discipleship. First of all, when we talk about the cost of discipleship, we think about the persecution. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that the persecution is real. It is happening now. There are those who are suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when I travel in America and when I talk about the persecution that I have experienced and I have witnessed and I have seen and what is taking place now, a lot of people say, you know, the concept of persecution is very foreign to us. It's hard for us in America to believe that people are persecuted. Well, let me tell you, in some of the states in India where Hindu extremist government is ruling, persecution is very, very strong. And one of the cases, you will see this short clipping of video, where this pastor was tortured and persecuted. And you know, this media person became part of the group who went to persecute this pastor, because government was saying, we have no cases registered in police diary. Those who are being persecuted, we have no record of those people. So this man, who was from one of the most credible media agency called Aaj Tak, became part of this group when he came to know that this group of Hindu extremists is going to go and persecute this pastor, and they were able to videotape this. This is not recreated. This is not a drama. This is the reality which you will see.
Hold on.
You may be wondering what he was saying. He was saying, Lord Jesus, forgive them. He was saying, I'm praying that you people will come to know the love and forgiveness that is possible in Jesus Christ. We all need to know about this persecution. We all need to inform other believers about this persecution because we are part of one body of Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to share some of the things what are happening today in our world. On June 10th this year in Indonesia, in Maluku province, anti-Christian violence, two evangelists and four believers were brutally murdered. These include a six-year-old girl and her grandmother. June 15, 2008 in Indonesia, reported by Barnabas Fund International, 120 homes of Christian believers were set on fire, one village school and three churches were burned to ashes. In Pakistan, on 23rd of June, during the worship service in a village, Islamic extremist group Al-Qaeda kidnapped 40 Christians, and still nobody knows what has happened to those people. Their relatives and friends are not able to find them. In Nigeria, in the city of Kano, in the month of April 2000, a very effective evangelist named Pastor Madumer with his wife and three children were burned to ashes as Muslim militants burned their home and did not allow the family to come out. The country of Nigeria, the city Rim, Pastor Bertus Manjang and his son and his daughter-in-law with their 6-month-old child were shot dead just in front of their house by a Muslim extremist group called Hausa Fulani Muslims. The country Nigeria, around the same area of city Rim, in December 2007, last year, in the city of Kaduna, Muslim extremists attacked 12 Christian preachers and Christian community, killing over 200 Christians and damaging 20 church buildings. October 2007, between 14th to 18th of October, in the city of Kano, 600 Christian leaders, preachers, and mainly newly converted Christians are missing for the last several months, plus 350 leaders were killed, 5 church buildings were burned to ashes. June 29th, Friday, June 29th, the country Pakistan, reported by Joseph Francis, the National Director of Center for Legal Aid Assistance and Settlement, that a young Christian man was gang-raped by 30 men one night because he refused to deny his faith in Jesus Christ. This victim was seriously injured and was not able to move for a week. The CEO of this mission says, "We are deeply concerned about the growing number of attacks against Christians in Pakistan," saying the international CEO, Andy Dipper. "We are receiving reports of rape, abduction, and forced conversion. Pakistan is becoming an increasingly difficult place for Christians to live. To make things worse, the government is pushing through a law which could impose the death penalty to any Muslim who is converted to Christianity and life imprisonment for any woman." The country Sudan, March 2008. Here's the account of the testimony of a Christian man who escaped genocide. He said that they caught the priest and slaughtered them. Hundreds were burned inside the church building during the Sunday worship service. We have a young evangelist who works with Central India Christian Mission. He was working in a city of Mal Kharoda, and him and his wife went and started this church where people have never heard about Jesus Christ. In 1 year's time, Sanjay Masih had over 300 Christians worshiping in his congregation, and that Sunday his wife had 186 children in Sunday school. The same evening, Sanjay had to take his wife. She was not feeling well, and she wanted to see a doctor. And as he was taking her, they had to travel on the motorbike for about an hour and a half. After 30 minutes, there were three motorcycles came and stopped Sanjay Masi and started beating Sanjay with iron rods. Sanjay Masi became unconscious. And after about 36 hours, Sanjay Masi came to his senses. He found himself in an intensive care unit of a hospital, where his uncle came and broke the news, saying, "Sanjay, when you were beaten, your wife was injured, and she was killed on the spot, and this afternoon her funeral is over." My brothers and sisters, since last 3 weeks in our country, not too far from where we live and where we work in the state of Orissa, on 23rd of August, this past 23rd of August, five Hindu leaders were killed by a Maoist group who came up front next day and took the responsibility of killing these five Hindu leaders. But the Hindu extremist group turned this whole issue against Christians. And in last 3 weeks, over 200 Christian pastors have been killed. 2,800 homes of Christians have been burned to ashes. 80 church buildings have been destroyed, and more than 55,000 Christians have left their homes and they are hiding themselves in the jungles of Orissa. The day I got to America, three days ago, I received a phone call in America from my pastor friend saying, "My brother, this morning we found a body of a dear pastor. They killed him last night and his body was cut into 16 pieces. According to Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, David Barrett has done a great deal of research in the area of missiology, especially related to persecution. He has written that in 1900, there were 35,000 martyrs for Christ. However, in the year 2007 alone, there have been 310,000 believers who have been killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. David Barrett is predicting that in 3 years from now, more than 500,000 Christians will be martyred every year because of their faith. Towards the end of the report, he concluded that report by two facts. First of all, he said, wherever persecution has been strong, Christianity continues to grow rapidly. And towards the end of the report, the bottom line, he said, the conclusive fact was mentioned something like this. It says, where there has been pain, people have sought after Jesus Christ. But where there has been excessive prosperity, there have been those who have clenched their fist against him and have compromised quietly. My brothers and sisters, persecution is real. It is happening. We need to know and we need to feel the pain. It is not enough to know, but the second proposition of my message is we need to do something about this. We need to do something to those who have been persecuted. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." We need to be sensitive to their needs. Those people who have lost everything, they have no shelter, they have no food. I got a call last week from my friend who is a preacher. He is living with 10 little orphans who are under 4 years of age. And he said, "We are hiding ourselves into jungles. These children have not eaten anything for several days. I'm afraid they may die because of starvation. What can I do? This may be the last time I'm talking to you, my brother, because my cell phone's battery is almost dead." What do we do? Are we sensitive enough to help those people? Not only that, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 through 46, Jesus is asking us to become Christian extremists. But Christian extremism is totally different than any extremism that we hear today. Jesus is saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and good and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. James chapter 4 verse 17, it says, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do, it sins. God not only said that, Jesus not only said that, but God showered His love on those people who were murderers like Saul. But when Saul experienced the love of Jesus Christ, his life was totally transformed. He became Paul and he became a messenger and a shining witness of Lord Jesus Christ. God showed His love for those who were living the immoral life, such as David and the Samaritan woman at the well. But God's love completely changed them and they were transformed. Jesus showed His love for the thief on the cross and to those who killed him. J.W. Frozer has said, love is best seen in the context of hate. Hope is best seen in the context of hopelessness. Grace is best seen in the context of sorrow. Light is best seen when there is darkness. We need to be praying for those people who are persecuting the believers. I have a young man. He is probably less than 5 feet in his height. He's not very tall, but he's very strong. He, with his wife, his name is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, with his wife, went to an unreached area where they trained extremists in the area of Palari. And in Palari, after 6 months, when he was preaching to a group of 50 seekers, there were people in 4 vehicles. They came in and started beating everybody, and new believers and seekers ran away. But they took Emmanuel and his wife and they took them to an isolated area. They tied Emmanuel with a rope on a tree and they said, if you do not deny Jesus, we will kill you. Emmanuel said, you do whatever you want to do. And I'm trying to make my story short. They raped Emmanuel's wife. They took every cloth she was wearing and they raped his wife in front of his eyes. After some time, in the month of February, Emmanuel comes to my office and he said, Brother Ajay, I'm very excited. I want to share a great news with you. And I said, what is happening? He said, you know what? I baptized 10 people on 1st January. And I said, Brother Emmanuel, you have baptized 60 people last year on one Sunday. What is so great about baptizing 10 people? He said, no, you don't understand. 4 of them were those people who came and raped my wife. And I said, Emmanuel, what did you do? He said, I met them in the market after what they did. And I just said, may God bless you, may God bless you, may God bless you. And they came to our house and they said, we don't understand. You are blessing us and you are praying for us. And Emmanuel said, I had a chance to share the gospel. And now they are brothers. They have become part of the body of Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, my brothers, I want to say to my brothers and sisters who live in America that be prepared to face persecution. Be prepared to take a stand for Jesus Christ. And as we do that, the kingdom of Lord Jesus Christ is going to grow. The churches are going to grow. We will experience a great revival in not only in this land, but around the world. We must not fear. We must take a stand for Christ, whether we are in India facing Hindu extremists or whether you being in California fighting against the issue of so-called same-sex marriage. Whenever God's word is mocked, or standards or morals or absolutes set by our God are questioned and destroyed, my brothers and sisters, we need to take a stand and God will honor us. I will just conclude my message by telling you two short stories. I have a very dear friend. His name is Deepak and his wife is Simi. They were in America and they come from very rich families. They were not Christians. But when they were in Australia and then later they moved to America, they accepted Christ and they became very strong believers. They started going to a church in Martinsville, Indiana. And one day, preacher said, why don't you go back to Punjab, India, and share the gospel there? And Deepak and Simi sold their business and they went back to Punjab. And they are still there. They are planting churches. So we got to meet in America. We were able to meet in America. And when Deepak and Simi came and got settled in Punjab, Deepak called me and said, Brother Ajay, can you come? And we need to go and preach the gospel to some areas. He said, I have been in a business, so you need to come and help me, my dear friend. So we went. We drove about 20 hours on road. When we got to Deepak's place, we had meetings in the village from morning till evening. First evening, there were 400 seekers who came forward and they said, we want to learn more about Jesus Christ. Second day, same thing happened. Hundreds and hundreds of people became interested in Christianity. Well, my friend said, Brother Ajay, we are going to go to Rajpura in Punjab. And it's a city of thousands of people. And you will be preaching to a large crowd of several thousand people. And this will be the first time when people of Rajpura will hear about Jesus Christ. Well, I said, okay, Rajpura, just one city, just the name. He did not tell me that in the city of Rajpura, they trained extremists. He did not tell me that some time ago, when there was a Christian evangelist who came to share the gospel, he was shot dead on the spot. So we went to the city of Rajpura. But that morning, the chief of the police and head of the district called us and we had a meeting. And they said, you cannot preach here. You cannot preach here because these extremists have learned about you. You have made a big publicity. And these people have marched on the roads of Rajpura saying, if there is a Christian message here, if there are people coming to convert us, there will be a riot in the city. You cannot preach the gospel. And my friend got upset and he said, when I was not Christian, I was able to go to a temple. My wife was able to go to Gurudwara and nobody stopped. An argument went on for 2 hours. And finally, the chief of the police said, here is the deal. You need to sign a legal document saying that when you are preaching, if you say something, if you disturb the crowd, and if crowds gets angry, and if there is there is unpleasant situation, then police will have a right to shoot you at sight. And Deepak said, wonderful, I'm ready to sign. And I looked at him and I said, Brother Deepak, you are ready to sign, but I'm not, because you are not preaching, it's me who will be preaching. So I called my wife and I said to her, what is happening? And she said, no, you go ahead and you preach. And I said, you know what? These people are saying if crowd comes towards you, you need to run. And you need to be ready to run and leave the place. And I said, well, for some reason, I feel very strongly that when I'm preaching the gospel and I'm standing there, I'm not going to show my back to Jesus Christ. I will stand there no matter what. And I preached my best evangelistic message. And there were thousands of people, and there were 5 policemen with their AK-47 standing in front of me, and the chief of the police was sitting, and he said, as soon as I give you signal, you shoot this man. And it was not Ajay Lal who was preaching, it was Holy Spirit who took over. And for about 45 minutes, people heard the message of Christ. And I'm not going to go into the details because of the time is almost over. But today you go to Rajpura and there's a church in Rajpura. In fact, they have prepared a film called Binding Faith. Some American friends came from Savannah, Georgia and prepared the film on this for what has happened. And it is available in your bookstore. So, but towards the end of the film, you see the church and believers, about 200 believers worshiping in Rajpura. But what is the highlight of that film? It says that Rajpura church has planted another church in the next door village. When we take a stand for Christ, when we are ready to face the forces of darkness, God blesses us. His church grows, His body grows, His kingdom grows, and we need to take a stand. My brothers and sisters, something happened in India which shook our country. Which shook our country. An Australian missionary, Graham Staines, with his sons, Philip and Timothy, when they were going to a tribal area in central India, a group of hundreds of Hindu extremists came around their vehicle and they burned that vehicle with Graham Staines and his two little sons, 5 and 7 years old, to ashes. Next day, during the funeral, his widow stood holding hands to his little daughter. And whole media was focusing on them. Every possible Indian channel was there. And this press reporter jumps in front of Mrs. Staines and he says, "How do you feel about this? These people have burned your husband. You cannot see the face. Your children are being burned." And she said, "You know, I have no feeling of anger. In fact, I have forgiven them. And I'm praying that someday they will come to know the love and forgiveness which is only possible through Jesus Christ." And then she took the hand of her little daughter and they both sang very loudly, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear has gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth of living just because he lives." And the whole India was shaken. Our parliament was shaken. This press reporter and a Hindu extremist jumps in front of the camera and says, "If this is what Christianity is, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Lord Jesus Christ." My brothers and sisters, are we willing to pay the price? Let us remember that even though our salvation is free, but it is not cheap, because Jesus Christ has paid the price from his own blood for you and I. What are we going to do about that? May God bless you. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, bless us this evening as we have heard your voice. Make us bold and courageous witnesses that we will not compromise and we will take a stand when your word is mocked. And we know, Father, as we take a stand and as we take this courageous step in faith, you will bless us. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has paid a price for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. Let's all stand. Let's stand. Last night I picked him up at the airport at LAX and drove him out to where he's staying. And I don't know, about 8:30 at night, 9:30, I drove back by the church. And across the street, there were about a dozen people standing up with signs right across from this church, right directly across from this church, holding up signs, telling people as they drove up and down Rinaldi to vote no on Proposition 8, saying that hate is not a family trait, same-sex marriage is okay. Just a dozen people in our community standing across from this church trying to redefine marriage as God defined marriage. And as I drove home, I could not get that thought out of my mind the entire evening. Why it's okay for them to do that. But for some reason, we don't have one person out of 10,000 members willing to make the same stand with a larger sign, a bigger sign, that reads, "Marriage is defined by God, not man." I thought about how there are people who are willing to take a stand against the things of God. And yet, we as Christians are just afraid we're going to offend somebody. And at the same time, this brother's preaching over in India, preachers left and right being killed, slaughtered for the sake of the gospel. I've said this many times, we're spoiled. We're spoiled here in America. We're spoiled. We are apathetic. We are lethargic in our faith. We don't pick up our cross. We don't truly follow Jesus. We don't truly lay our life down for the sake of the gospel. We'll let those protesters protest because we don't want to offend anybody, which is fine. But I will tell you this. If we continue to sleep, if we continue to do nothing, the devil's going to win. And somehow we've got to learn how to stand up in the midst of this society with love, with love, with love. But we've got to figure out a way to stand up for the things that are right. It may cost us our life one day. That's where we're headed. It may cost us our life. But we still have to stand for that which is right. Amen? We're going to sing this invitation in case you're here and you've been on the sidelines. This message was meant to shake you up a little bit. It shook me up. I hope it shook you up. Hope it made you mad. I hope it instilled something in you to say, you know what? There are people all around the world who are truly laying it on the line. We need to do that here in America. We need to do that here in Porter Ranch. We need to do that here in Los Angeles. We're in trouble if we don't. We are in trouble if we don't. We're going to sing. If you have a decision, you want to give your life to Jesus. Not 50%, but 100%. If you need to join this church, if you need to be baptized, if you need someone to pray with you, or maybe you're here today and just say, Lord, I've been so apathetic to everything. I want to get involved. I want to pick up my cross. I want to pick up my cross. I want to deny myself. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. If that's your prayer, if that's your decision, you come. As we sing, you come as we sing.
Jesus, Jesus, you're the answer.